Okay. How are we? Are you good? Fantastic. Good to hear it. Let's see if my clicker works this morning. Okay. I've got a little, going to start off with a little quiz this morning. Are you ready? Dangerous thing. Oh no, dangerous thing. Okay. Right. Which is the odd one out? Okay. Which is the odd one out? Top left. Anyone know what the top left is?
Berlin Wall.
Berlin Wall. Okay. Right hand one. Top right. Great Wall of China. Bottom left. Hadrian's Wall. And bottom right, a bit more difficult. Yes, that's right. Palestinian Wall. So we've got Berlin Wall, we've got the West Bank Wall, we've got Hadrian's Wall, and we've got the Great Wall of China. Which is the odd one out?
Great Wall of China.
Why? No, that's not the right answer. No. Would you? We've got vote for Hadrian's Wall at the back here. Hadrian's Wall. Why? Is it? No, it's not. It's not the right anyway. Berlin Wall. Berlin Wall is actually the right answer, but it's the wrong reason. Right answer, wrong reason. It's a bit like, what's that TV program? Have I Got News For You, where they do this, you know, which is the odd one out?
That's why it's still standing. It's not standing.
Huh? It's not because it's colder in Berlin. Okay. Think about what was the Great Wall of China used for? Keeping people, keep the Mongols out, okay? They used to come in and raid northern China. What's the Palestinian Wall used for? Israel built it to keep the Palestinians out. Hadrian's Wall, who built that? The Romans built that, and that was to? See, Hadrian, there were some things that the Romans got right, trying to keep the Scots out. Okay, and what was the last one? Berlin Wall. Who built the Berlin Wall? East Germany. And why did they build it? Huh? To keep the people in. The other three walls were built to keep people out. The Berlin Wall was the only wall that was built to keep people in. To hold on to their own people. Berlin Wall. Cut off East Berlin and West Berlin. It was 140 kilometres long, 87 miles, about that. It was started on the 13th of August 1961. In 1950, there were 165,000 people left Eastern Germany to join Western Germany. By 1953, 330,000 people were leaving East Germany. There's this huge brain drain of people leaving East to go West, and they closed the border. And then in 1961, they built the Berlin Wall. The Great Wall of China was actually started in about 200 years BC, but it was actually finished and completed by the Ming Dynasty in the 14th century. It is a staggering, bit of history for you, 5,500.3 miles long. That is huge. Okay, that's 8,851 kilometres. And so they say it can be seen from space, but if you watch QI, they may tell you something different. But anyway, Hadrian's Wall was built in AD 22, and that is 73 miles, 120 kilometres out, and was built to keep out the Scots. And the West Bank was started in 2002 and is 760 kilometres long. 470 miles, built by Israel to protect itself from the Palestinians. This morning, we're going to be talking about a wall. Yeah? And it says there in verse 14, "For he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one. He has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." You know, as I was preparing this today, I just felt that God wanted to get across the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation that we are in today. The wall has come down. The wall has come down. There is no more wall. In Jesus, the wall has been destroyed. Not only the wall that separates peoples, whether they be political walls like East Germany, whether they be defensive walls like the Great Wall of China, whether they be social walls like the apartheid. The walls have come down between peoples. And the wall has come down between us and God. There is no more barrier between us. You know, and I just had this thing that I didn't want it to become an intellectual exercise. You know, and yes, I wanted to preach well, you know, and I wanted a PowerPoint to be nice, and I wanted all these things, you know, to be perfect. That's just the way I am. I want to do it right. I want to do it to the best of my ability. But this morning, I just felt as I was preparing and I was walking along, coming back from work one day, I just felt God was saying, the wall has come down. That's the reality. And this morning, all I want to get across to you, and if you get nothing else from this morning, and hopefully you do get some other things from this morning, but if you get nothing else this morning, I want you to understand that the wall has come down. And in this passage that we're looking at today, Paul breaks it down into three sections. In verses 11 to 12, he talks about our present standing, and I've called that our reputation. I've tried to start it with ours, a bit tenuous, but I've tried to start it with ours. And the first one is verses 11 to 12, and it's about our reputation, about our present standing, our standing before we knew Christ. And then verses 13 to 18, I've called it revelation, and it's about what Christ has done. Okay? And then in verses 19 to 22, I've called it revolution. And it's about what we are now. Okay? So we have reputation, we have revelation, and we have revolution. Okay? So, we're going to carry on and we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. If you've got it in your Bibles, open it to your Bibles. We can read it together. Ephesians chapter 2, 11 to 22, and this says one, the heading in this passage is one in Christ. One in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22 says this: therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth are called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one, who has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So, let's go. First section. Oh, I did that one. Reputation. Our present standing. Is that focused? That better? Okay. Verses 11, it says, I'm just going to read a little bit there. Therefore, remember that formerly you were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those that call themselves is circumcision, which is done by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. What a situation to find yourself in. Without hope and without God in the world. We were on the outside looking in. You know, a little bit of background in terms of the Jewish concept. It was a great statement I read as I was preparing for this, and it said that at that time the Jewish people believed, I stress at that time, the Jewish people believed that the only reason why God had created the Gentiles was that they could stoke the fires of hell. Okay? That was their view of the Gentiles. They had huge contempt for the Gentiles. They thought that God loved only Israel. There was Israel, nobody else existed. Nobody else cared, nobody else mattered. God loved Israel. And they lost the concept that God was the God of the whole world. But that God loved only Israel. And this bore itself out in all parts of society. And even if a Jewish lad or a Jewish girl married a non-Jewish, a Gentile girl or a Gentile boy, what they would used to do was they used to hold a funeral service for that because they were lost. It was as if they had died because they had married outside of Israel. And there was this huge divide, yeah, in the thinking between Israel, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles. And this was also seen within the temple. And within the temple, you had the upper courts and the courts of the priests and the courts of the women. And then outside of that, you came down five steps, and then you came to a plateau, and then you came to a wall, and then you went down 19 steps, and you came to the outer perimeter, the outer court. And the outer court, okay, was the court of the Gentiles. And the Gentiles could not go up the steps and pass that wall. And they had a great sign on it. And they found one of these signs, and it's in a museum in Istanbul at the moment. It says this on this sign. It says, "No foreigner may enter within the barrier and enclosure round the temple. Anyone who is caught doing so will only have himself to blame for his ensuing death." So it didn't say trespassers will be prosecuted. It said trespassers will be executed. And there was this great enmity between them. There was this sense of that the Gentiles were on the outside. They were not part of Israel. They were on the outside looking in. And these verses go on and explain. Come on. There we go. No, too far now. No, and it's strange. There you are. They were on the outside looking in. So let's go and have a quick look at those verses. It says they were separated from Christ. They were separate from Christ. They had no, as Gentiles at that time, they had no idea who Christ was. They had no idea of the coming Messiah. They had no idea of the coming promises. They had no idea of the promises to Israel. They had no idea of whether they were in Christ. They didn't know who Christ was. They were neither knew Christ or were in Christ or with Christ. They were separate from Christ. We, as Gentiles, were separate from Christ. We had no expectation. And we were excluded. We were aliens and strangers of the promises of God. We weren't, we didn't know what God's promises were. In Genesis 17:7, it says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, God says to Israel, and your descendants after you, to be your God and your descendants after you. There was this unique relationship that God had set up between Israel and himself. It was unique. It was them. He was alone. And the Gentile nations did not have any inkling of that. They did have no input into that. They had no relationship with God about that. They were completely separate from that relationship. And it says, without hope and without God. They were a hopeless people, the Gentiles. They had nothing to hold on to, nothing to sustain them, nothing to cling on to. They had no true revelation of God or revelation of who he was. They had no idea, no understanding. And in short, at that point in time, we were Christless, stateless, friendless, hopeless, and godless. And this is what Paul's saying in this section. This was the true position outside of Christ. The true position was that we had no friends, we had no inkling, we had no knowledge, we had no revelation. We had nothing. We were Billy No Mates. And that was the reality of where we were. And then we come to Revelation. What Christ has done. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law and its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace and in one body to reconcile them both to God through the cross, which he put to death their hostility. He came and he preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have access to the Father. Now it says, but now, Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I'm just going to stop there and say this. Now. But now. When? Now. Tomorrow? No. When is it? Now. Next week? No. When is it? Now. When have we been brought near to God? Now. It's not later. It's not something we've got to wait for. It's not something we've got to earn. It's not something we've got to work for. It's not something we've got to attain enough points to achieve. This is about now. It's immediate. It's this reality now. It is currently. It is this instant. It is this present moment. It is this point in time. It is now. We have the nearness of God now. Do you get that? You don't understand as if you do. I'm going to show you a little clip by my friend Grover. Okay? See if you get it now. Do your thing, James. I laugh every time I see it. Friends. Once we were far, now we are near. If we can just grasp that, if we can grasp the reality that once we were far off and God has brought us near, now, we haven't got to earn, we haven't got to perform, we haven't got to achieve. When I was a young man, only a couple of years ago, you know, starting on my journey with Christ, I used to think that being a Christian was like walking the highway. And, you know, the road was narrow. And you was always told, the road is narrow. It's a narrow road. And I had this picture of me walking the highway, you know. And I'll be there, and I'll be trying, you know, staying holy with God, and I'll be there. Next step, staying holy with God. And every now and again, I'd lose my footing and I'd fall. And yes, I'd fall into a big net of God's grace and love, but then I had to work my way up. Yeah? You've always got this ladder to get back up onto the high wire. And I usually have, you know, yes, I have to pray and I have to confess my sins and I have to do this and I have to go to church and I have to, you know. And you have to just climb this ladder again to get to the back to the top. But that's not grace. That's works. God has brought us near. We don't leave his presence. It's always there. You know, I remember this thing that, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That's about me working to get close to God. No. God has brought me near. And when has he done that? Now. You know, let's get hold of that reality. That God has brought us away. He has not pushed us aside. He has not given us work to do. He has said, come, I've brought you near. Come, I'll bring you near now. I want you close to me. I want you to know me. I want you to know my blessing. I want you to know my freedom. I want you to know my enjoyment. I want you to know my presence. I want you to know because I want you near, because you are mine and you are my children and you are my family and you are the people that I love and you are the people that I cherish and you are the people that I adore. That's why I came and died for you, because I love you and I want you near to me. And I have destroyed the wall. I have destroyed the wall that separates us. I have destroyed the wall that separates you, and I have brought you near now. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Do you get it? Do you want me to show you Grover again? I think I'll do that at the end anyway, just because it just makes me laugh. Do you know that? But you know, there is. It's Sesame Street, okay? Just put Grover near and far, and that all comes up on YouTube. That's where I found it. But there's a simplicity to it that as adults we tend to lose because we try and overcomplicate things. Yeah? We get caught up in the world that we're living in, where we have, you know, things we've got to do and we have a scale and we go up and it's about, you know, how we get, the closer we get to God and we have the bigger position and, you know. It's rubbish. It's rubbish. It's just a lie to try and keep people and control people. The reality is that you are as close to God as I am. You have as much access to God as I have. Because God has brought you near. Once you were far off. Once you were way, way away. Once you're in the distance. God never forgot you. But you were far away. You were on the outside looking in. But now, he has brought you near. And it's because of him. Look at the amount of times it says here. Verse 13, by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, he himself is our peace. That one we just looked at, you know, but now in Christ Jesus. Verse 15, by setting aside in his flesh. In verse 15 again, for his purpose was to create in himself. Verse 16, he put to death their hostility. Verse 17, he came and preached peace. Verse 18, through him we both have access to the Father. This thing, this grace, this nearness is not about what we have done. It is about what he has done. He came. He preached peace. He achieved. He bought our redemption. It's his grace. And through that death, through that cross, he destroyed the barrier between us and between him. He says that he abolished the condemnation of the law. The law was never there to save. We know that. We've been through that. The law couldn't save. You couldn't keep the law. It just pointed to us the fact that we needed a saviour. And in Christ Jesus, he abolished the law. He released us from the obligations of the ceremonial law, because works cannot save us. And he released us from the condemnation of the law, because Jesus himself paid the price. We are saved by grace. And he abolished the enmity, that hostility, that barrier between men, because he's created one new, because all need God. Even though the Gentiles looked on from afar into the temple, the Israelites couldn't go into the Holy of Holies. Only one person could go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they were separated by a curtain. And when Christ died, we know that that curtain was torn in two from top to bottom, so that all could draw near to God. He destroyed it, because in him we find who we are, and in him each of us have one Saviour, one King, one God, one Lord. There is now just one humanity. There is no other races. There are no other ways. There are just one way, and that is in Christ. And so the walls that separated, we're right, you're wrong, doesn't exist anymore, because we are in Christ. We are found in Christ. And because we are all found in Christ, and because we are all saved by grace, there is nothing that separates us. No one can say, I'm better than you. No one can say, I'm wiser than you, because we are all on the same footing. We are all saved before, all saved by grace, all equal before God. And then he's taken that and he has reconciled us to God, because he took that punishment that was ours. I love those words in verse 16. It says, through him we now have access to the Father. Through him we now have access to the Father. Through him. Not through us, but through him. Because he destroyed the walls that separated us and separated us from God. The walls have come down. What I wanted to say, I like the picture. I don't know. I just like the picture. Jesus, unique. Yeah? Jesus is the only way. You know, and what Paul is saying here, that because there's only one humanity, there is only one way to salvation, and there is only one way to God. There are not parallel ways, there are not many ways. There can only be one way, because there is one humanity, there is one sacrifice that was good enough. So we can't say, well, there's that way, and there's this way, and there's the other way. It was interesting, again, when I was preparing, I was reading some stuff by a guy called John Piper. And he was saying that he was having this conversation with the local rabbi in America. He's in, I forget where he is now, Minnesota or somewhere. And he was saying that they were having this discussion over lunch, and they sort of meet every now and again, and he was having this discussion over lunch. And they were discussing, you know, biblical things and Jesus things and stuff like that. And the rabbi was saying, well, you know, there's a Hebrew way to God, you know, and there's a Christian way to God. And this is what his belief was, you know. And John Piper was saying, well, I don't agree with that, obviously. But we know sometimes in our PC world, we say, well, that's okay, yeah, you can find your own way to God and you can find your own way. But we as Christians, we believe this. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't be respectful. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't listen. But the scripture clearly says Jesus is unique. There is only one way. There is only one new humanity. There is only one encompassing. That doesn't mean that we need to get like the Hebrews and sort of separate ourselves. But it means that we must be people that hold on to the truth of who Jesus is. In a difficult secularization world in which we live, we must hold on to and stand firmly on the truth that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only new Mikvah. This is his whole point of what, again, of what Paul is drawing out of here, because he's saying there is only one new humanity, which is found in Christ. Can't be found anywhere else. It is only found in Christ. It is unique. Then we come to revolution. Hey, this is what we are now. Thumbs up. This is what we are now. Consequently, because of him, because of what Jesus did, because of the fact that he did destroy the wall, because of the fact that he brought us near, consequently, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but we are fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We're nothing like what we were before. I put the picture of the British passport there. You know, if you've got a British passport, you know, you've got rights. Can't get rid of you. They can't, you know, you have, yeah? If you haven't got a British passport, it's nervous. But we have a heavenly passport. We are members of his household, and we can never not now be members of his household. We are secure in him. We are secure in his salvation, secure in his, in what he has done for us. We are completely different. We are completely transformed. We are completely changed. Once we were separated from Christ, but now we are in Christ. Once we were alienated and excluded, but now we are fellow citizens. Once we were strangers, and now we're no longer strangers. Once we had no hope, and now we are called to hope. Once we were without God, but now we are indwelt by his Spirit. We are members of his household. Once we were far off, but now we are near. We are completely different. We are transformed. And it's that love that he has showed us which inspires us, which carries us on to be different from who he is now. We are members of his household. We no longer need to stand afar. We can go into his very presence. We can talk to him. We can pray to him. We can be touched by his Holy Spirit and encourage us because the walls have come down. But do we believe it in our heads and in our hearts that we are included in his God's family, that we're not rejected, but we're wanted and loved and desired and cherished and safe and secure? Do we believe that? And if I'm being honest, I believe some of that, but it's something that I want to grow into the revelation of that. And we want to grow into the revelation of that together as the people of God here, to know the fullness that God has called us to. We know a bit. I know a bit. I don't know everything. I haven't experienced the fullness of God or the fullness of who I am in God. But God wants that for me. God wants me, wants us to know that fullness that he has called us to. The walls have come down. And it says there in verse 20b that with Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone, everything is about Jesus. Everything. You know, he is the chief cornerstone. He is the one who sets the line. He is the one who holds everything together. He is the one that sets out where the building is and where the temple is and what it is. It is is the foundation upon which we stand. And it is Jesus. It is not what we do. It is not about us. It is not about what we can achieve or what points we can earn. It is about Christ. And he himself is our chief cornerstone. But at the end there was one more, and I've put in there, I've put reconstructed a new humanity. Because right at the end there it says this, and in him You two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And in him, you two are being built together. A dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And this is, I suppose it's my prayer, that the reality of what I want to see here happen at IG, see in the future, that we are built together as the people of God in this place, that we learn how to rejoice together, how to encourage each other, how to bless each other, how to pray together, how to be together, how to know God together, how to know his blessing together, how to be the people of God in this place, that there is nothing that separates us, but that we come together and know him and rejoice in him and have a good time together. I don't want to come to church on a Sunday morning and have to do a performance where I have to stand here. I want to come together on a Sunday morning where I can come and meet with family, where I can come and meet with friends, where I can say what I feel like and how I feel. Yeah? I want to come and enjoy and worship God together and just know his presence together with a bunch of people that I enjoy being with, because they're my friends and my brothers and they're my sisters, and that we're family here together. And that we are being built together. You see, God isn't finished with us yet. He has brought us near, but he's not finished with us. We are being built. I'm a builder. Yeah? That's what I do for a living. Some say well, some say badly. Who knows? But it is about getting your foundation right. If you get your foundation right, you can build. If you get your foundation wrong, like at the Leaning Tower of Pisa, where they built it on sand, but it wasn't any old sand. It was sand with big pockets of air in it and pockets of water. And they came up with all sorts of devices to try and kick the thing up. And it took an Englishman to tell them how to do it in the end. And it's a true story. The Englishman came in and he said, you know, they had all these structures that held it up and all this sort of stuff. And they dug down, and the more they dug, it. Anyway, and he said, when you're on a beach, what do you do? You know, and you're standing next to something and a hole, what happens? You know, if you dig a hole next to it and stand next to it, you sink into the hole. And so he said, just dig a hole on the other side. And they dug a hole in the other side, and then the sand moved across and it straightened up. And they got so worried, yeah, because they've straightened it so much, it's gone back to about 1850 or something in terms of how straight it is, yeah, that they said, stop, because you'll make it straight. We don't want it straight. It gives us income because it's the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And they had to stop making it straight because they were worried that it would then become vertical. But if you get your foundation right, if we get our foundation of Jesus right, we will be built into a place of beauty. You see, Israel always was meant to be a place where God would be glorified. Yeah? Where God's presence would be, where he would show out his outpouring of who he was in them. And that's what he wants to do with us, this church here. He wants us, the church, to reveal in how we live together and how we worship together and how we go out into the community together, that we want to reflect his nature, his grace, his mercy, his love, his compassion, his holiness, but we reflect who he is in how we are together here. That we are being built into the temple, the dwelling in which God lives by Spirit. And each of us bring a piece of God. And each of us can bring something which we can, is that we can be, just reveal God together in this place. And that's my heart's desire, is that when we meet together, it's not about me, it's about when we meet together, God is glorified. That Jesus is lifted up, that Jesus is honoured in everything that we do. Like I say, I'd be quite happy. If Jesus was glorified here and I didn't have to stand at the front, I'd be happy. It doesn't worry me at all. I haven't got any desire to be anything special. My one desire is that Jesus is glorified in this place. That's all I care about. And that we glorify Christ in our lives. Sure, we mess up at times. There's grace to cover that. But today, let us draw near, because that is what we are now. We are near to God. There is nothing that separates us. The curtain has been torn in two. So let us enjoy God for who He is and in our lives together here at IGC. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I just want to thank you, Father, for that promise that we have been brought near. And it's not a promise for the future. It's not a promise for tomorrow or next week or next year. But Lord, that now we have been drawn near to God. Now we are near. Once we were far away, but now we are near. And Lord God, we just bless you and thank you and honor you and just worship you for who you are. And Father, Lord, I just want to say, have your way amongst us. Lord, build this place. Lord, be honored through this place. Lord, have your way. Let your will be done in IGC as it is in heaven. But Lord, that we may, Lord, be your people here and Lord, just be reflect who you are. Your grace, your mercy, your love in everything that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.